Chris Keys for PremierGuitar.com. We're with Brian of Silver Sun Pickups. Brian, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. I'm glad the weather has kind of breaking up for a little
bit.
It's
been pretty crazy. Last couple of shows, it's the beginning of this tour, and it's been all in the south. And when you see a little bit of a, see a little wet mark, you might want to run for it, because these storms, these storms aren't like the ones back in LA.
That's what Eric was saying too. He said last night, or two nights ago, that New Orleans, you guys got dumped on real hard.
I was taking a walk today in Nashville, and it was completely clear, and everything was lovely. I was about $6 from the hotel, and I had to run with 15 people into a parking garage, because it came like crazy. It came from the ground. Like, it actually shot up.
It's like that Forrest Gump where he's like, you know, the rain came the sideways.
Yeah,
it comes
that's
over.
Right. I know. And being from Los Angeles, I want to just somehow harness this power and bring it over there.
Yeah, right.
You know? Clean up some of the air.
But enough of talk about weather and
weather's good.
Cumulus clouds.
Yeah,
let's get into guitars.
Get nerdy.
Yes, absolutely.
This is kind of the one. No. Okay, as you can see right now, our old guitar tech and I named all these after James Bond people.
I didn't know if that was just with the crew or both with the
it
actual
was,
band.
So it was my guitar tech and I did that, and it was made it so much more confusing. I thought I was getting the Sheraton, and I forgot that I named that Daniel Craig, and I kept asking for Roger Moore. So don't do that ever. Name your guitars what they are. All right, here we go. See Mr. Craig.
Daniel Craig.
Literally, the first two tours, this was the only guitar I played. And this is a 1994 Sheraton, basically.
How did
a reissue. And it was Christopher, my drummer's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. As all I had was this sort of Jaguar reissue that I really loved, but it was a kind of a, it was temperamental for some of the stuff I was trying to do. And he had this, so I immediately just kind of took it. And then we kind of, I think these are like antiquity pickups, we put back in here and kind of hot rodded it. And some reason, in the early 90s, these reissues just sound awesome, you know? The casinos and these, I just absolutely love it. And usually with these semi-hollow bodies, like, they're a little out of control.
Yeah.
This one never felt too crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I play these in an unconventional kind of way.
Yeah, with a lot of effects.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. Everybody's scratching their heads. I don't understand things. I just, you know,
yeah.
Does it sound good? Does it feel good? That's it.
So is Daniel Craig technically yours now? Have you been playing it long enough?
Funny
that the
enough,
drummer...
it's been so long that I one time I went to Christopher during the rehearsals for this record, said, "Should I buy this?" And he's like, "It's yours."
So
but this guitar used to
now.
Frustrate my guitar tech so bad because this was the only one I'd bring on huge tours.
Jeez,
I'm a guy who likes a uniform. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
but I love it.
You've said in interviews before. I think it might have even been the Reverb video you guys did, where you said that you normally don't even own guitars. That you typically, Fred Armisen made a comment.
Yes,
that
he did.
Musicians don't.
Because he asked me
guitars.
A lot about gear and things like that, and I just like the way things sound.
Yeah,
you know, like I became a guitar player and a singer, not to become a computer scientist and engineer. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, work doesn't work. Throw it out.
New.
Yeah, but I did buy this in Nashville, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. I always wanted one of these things, and we were on tour with Muse. It was like a 65 non-reverse Firebird. And this was the second guitar I ever bought.
Wow.
And I really was freaking out over it. I was like stressing.
I bet.
And we were playing with Muse at the stadium. This one must have been 2010. Yeah. And I kept going back and forth to Groon's, is a place here in Nashville.
Yep.
I kept going back and forth, going, I want it. Finally, I talked myself into getting it. And I was sweating it. And I remember thinking, I'm so proud of myself. And I saw Matt Bellamy from Muse. And I said, Matt, I just bought this guitar. It was a big deal. He goes, awesome. I just bought like 50 things. And I was like, oh, okay. Shit.
What do you like about the solid body? Obviously, this is way different than the Sheraton.
Honestly, I just love the way it feels. It feels so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, old guitars, I hate to say it, they just have the dust on it. You know, the lacquer has just been ripped off and it's been through a lot. And at the end of the day, I just grabbed it. And I always loved the way the body hung.
Yeah.
And this has sort of a specific sound that are probably a little more conducive to all the craziness.
Yeah.
That I used to do. So with this purchase, it really inspired me for the last two albums to actually have a sound in the vein of this thing. Yeah, I just love it.
And
I love it. And again, people are always telling me, like, stop bringing this thing on tour because you're going to destroy it. And I was like, I'm going to bring it on tour.
I mean, it's a player looking. I don't know how many dings and scratches you put into it, but it looks like you got a well-played instrument.
I can't quite tell. That's why this one's called The Connery.
Oh, good old Sean.
Sean. Yeah, scary.
Have you done anything to it to, you know, maybe swap
We swapped out these things a couple times here and there just to kind of get it
working.
The wear and tear. And yeah, I think there's been a refretting and stuff. Like, again, I'm not trying to resell it. I'm just trying to play it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And make there
was, it a player. As I just kept beating it up, it just was falling apart. I was trying so hard, but it's just, it's nothing like these guitars, you know?
Do you have a connection with the instrument, you know, because it is an investment, it's, you know, it's a vintage instrument, you probably put some coin on it, that you worry about things like that, or no?
As long as
it plays and it creates music in your
head.
Yeah,
I can't get too heady about that stuff or my brain will fry. You know, once I start thinking about all that, then it's
sorry, put that in your head.
And then it's like, how do mosquitoes have heartbeats, you know?
I don't know, how do they?
And this guy, so Gibson's really, really nice to us, so like this
What about
guy,
Mr. Moore?
Moore is the new, Moore, you know, rest in peace. Moore is a new Firebird that this was supposed to be like the one to help me if that one breaks down.
Oh, like a backup.
Yeah, so Gibson sent this, and it's actually, I played it, and normally these new guitars, like, you can see how shiny with the lacquer. It's like your hand.
Yeah, real slick.
Slip and slide. But this actually feels really wonderful. And instead of it being a double, it was a terrible double for the Firebird. It ended up being its own weird world.
Yeah.
And so we started switching this out for other songs.
Off the top of your head, it sounded
better. Yeah, the song Dots and Dashes, this just sounded better. And there was a song called The Pit where half of it sounded better and the other half sounded like garbage. And we just like tried to get away with it. And we're like, no, I can't do it. That last half is just...
I was going to say, what part was the bad part?
Oh, God. It's because there's so much like swirliness and this thing just went like... It's supposed to have like it's just all this reverb and this kind of crazy sound, and I just kind of hit bing, let it ring out, but it has to die a little bit, and so I would just go, Grah! And it just kept going. I think it's still going, you know. Somewhere in Europe, this thing won't shut up. But yeah, I love these guitars.
Do you, now that you've got the regular Firebird, or I guess in technical terms, the reverse Firebird, do you have the preference to the body style that you like more, the non-reverse versus the reverse?
I like the non-reverse.
Yeah,
I just sort of do. I'm getting used to that. You'll talk to Nikki. Nikki plays Thunderbirds pretty much primarily.
Yeah.
And when she was, she's almost built her style just and her body shape almost around these things. And when she was pregnant, and we had our friend Sarah fill in, handed her that bass, and she just went.
It wasn't like a little teapot.
It was just like whoa. Yeah. You know, I feel like you want to have the most important thing for me with guitars is like, how does it feel on every piece of you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even the shape does matter a lot. Like,
well, you spend a lot of time playing.
You know, yeah, and it's going to be on you. And if you get the wrong shape to your body, you're going to get a lot of bruises.
What's like Lazenby
what doing? Lazenby is, I only use it for a song, Bloody Mary. And it's a SG. And again, Gibson was kind enough to give me this. And it's also kind of, for one song, it's sort of been brutalized a lot because I just go crazy on this thing. Yeah, I love it. And it's probably about 6 years old, and it already feels different. Like,
yeah,
from the day we got it. It's already starting to, like, find its own, you know what I mean? It's like sediment or something.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. And so I only use it really on one song. I have used it accidentally on a couple songs because I've... just forgot to change out the guitar. I was like, I'm fine. I'm too far away and I'm too lazy to go get it.
You got this, is that?
Because Bloody Mary is kind of like very my Bloody Valentine, so the whole thing is just like,
Kevin Shields,
constantly doing that, you know what I mean? I'm not like strumming like he is, but I'm just doing like, you know what I mean? So I needed this guy, and this is the perfect one for it. I needed something a little shiny, shimmery sounding.
And, oh, all right.
And something that would kind of can sustain at least through one song, like a beating that it kind of does.
Did you put the tape on there as like a fix, or is it something to catch your hand on?
No, fix.
Okay.
It's a little tape. You'd be surprised what tape can do.
Gaff tape,
hi,
man.
Nikki. Gaff tape. Gaff tape cures everything. Yeah. And there's just a bunch of like, you know, same old things, some backup guitars, some 335s, just Midtown, which actually I really like. I actually only use it for, oh no, that's the Brosnan. We never touched the Brosnan, ever.
Why is that?
Those are the worst movies.
Oh, man.
Dude,
there's going to be some hate.
These movies suck. Pierce Brosnan. 90s wasn't a good time for Bond.
Sure, never. Yeah.
Not his fault.
But he's still got a guitar in the boat,
though. This is the Dalton. Dalton makes an appearance before Brosnan does. If Brosnan comes out, then somebody stole something.
Jeez.
Yeah, this is a Midtown, which is basically like a semi-hollow body, and I don't know if they even make these anymore. It's sort of like a thinner body, and
the do you like that?
I use this basically for one song called Nightlight, and it just has a good feel to it. It's a lot as wild as the 335, the Sheridan that I mm-hmm. use, but it's got the dust on it. Yeah. I should really use it for more songs, but meh.
What tunings are you guys playing in? Or this one, specifically?
This one's all the way tuned to whole step, and the SG and the Firebirds are tuned half step. Okay. And then if there's lower tunings than that, there's a couple songs where you a couple like one stringer this that might be down. Mm-hmm. And if we have the guitar on stage, I'll just do it, you know. Mm-hmm. Or if the song's coming up, our tech will just put it together. But nothing. It's basically normal, half step down, full step down, and then little oddball things once in a while.
And I'm sure there's parts where there you don't want to be out of tune, but you happen mm-hmm. to be out of tune.
There's parts where you don't want to be out of tune, and you happen to be out of tune, and that's why you got to learn to bend your finger. I've literally done this just to try and stretch the string out.
Just to find that.
Oh, yeah. Hot festivals, too. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're kind of transposing it. Like, yeah. That's not fun.
And before we get out of guitar land here, what about strings? I see that you have a very convenient package here.
No, yeah.
Ernie Ball.
I guess I use these.
The beefy slinkies.
I do. I sometimes I use these, but what's the purple ones?
I feel like those are just the regular slinkies.
I think I use these and the regular slinkies. I just always have used Ernie Ball. And again, it's one of those things where people ask you why you do things. It's just because you like them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, don't use them. Use something else if you want to. You know what I mean? But I like these. Just like this. I like my little yellow Dunlops.
I was going to ask you, what about picks?
Just love those things. I don't know where I got locked into that. I just love it. And every time I borrow another pick, it hilariously flies off my hand. But Nikki's picks are the worst. They're the worst. She has custom picks. They look great, but they're made of like soap.
Super slick.
They're just like
gone.
They're terrible. Yeah, she'll rebuttal that.
Well, we'll let her have her defense in a minute, but let's go talk about amp and effects. All right, Brian, I know a lot of people are excited to see a pedal board and go through all your pedals, but to their dismay, not today.
So normally, I have this crazy setup that we built, and I can't even remember all the components because my friend Fritz helps me out through all this stuff like that, but it had all these pedals, and they were wired in a way that for the switching system, you could put one in front of the other, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
that definitely affects things.
Yeah, and I'd have just two pedals up here, one of them being my Boss DD3, which is the one I always
for the glitch
like percussion.
Yeah.
And we called it the Grimlock because the only way to access it, because you still had to go through a computer brain, the only way to access it was through this weird 1980s laptop that my guitar tech had, and you couldn't access it another way. It was so frustrating.
Jeez.
And I'd always play through this 90s Hot Rod DeVille, and I was playing through a Marshall, I think JCM 900, right? But I stopped doing that because I was just throwing effects at it, and the Marshall had its own world that I think is great for pure sounds, but for what I was throwing at it, it was just like, what are you doing? Yeah. So I got this, started using the Hi-Wah, custom Hi-Wah, and just anything I threw at that thing just was like, give me more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. But right now, I'm using this Fractal system, which was so interesting because when someone started talking to me about this, as far as like logistics for touring, like flying all over the place and how cumbersome these things are and how things kind of break down.
Yeah.
Some bands that I went to some of their rehearsals because they were using these things, and I was like, okay, what? They're like a software? Yeah, someone, that's so strange. And then I saw them play and it blew my mind.
Yeah.
Just destroyed my brain. I couldn't believe that. And these guys were like pedal junkies too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started monkeying around with it, and my friend Fritz and I spent 3 months and we were doing it in a way where we'd have to call Fractal and they would just go, I don't understand what you guys are doing. Because most people, I guess, use it to simulate a twin. And I was like, we'll just get a twin.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get two sounds coming from this side and this to zoom in, you know what I mean? Like, I want a big, night, it's just craziness. And so we just spent all this time almost like mixing sounds. So strange. And then I was wondering how that was going to come about, and we started playing shows, and it was amazing.
Yeah, you should be like a beta tester for them.
It was amazing.
Any future firmware.
It was really great. It's been, I gotta tell you, it has not failed once. You know what I mean? Like, there's like little things here and there, but it's pretty fascinating that I can show up with a suitcase and a guitar and play an arena.
Yeah, and you don't miss it. Do you not miss, like, you know, having the pedals and interacting with things?
Well, sometimes I'll have, what I'm going to do for the last bit of the tour is I have two speaker cabinets that are actually gonna be stereo, but okay. I have had the high watt and the up here for like stuff like that. Right now on this tour, I just have this for things to come out on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, I do in some ways, it's sort of, this is great for that, this is great for that, you know what I mean? They're both, like, this is just really convenient right now.
Yeah,
does that make sense? Like, I can fly, and it's not gonna like cost us $1 million to get yeah. this like 300 pound.
Well, without diving into each patch or each song that you have here,
but basically, yeah, I'm sort of simulating all the other things before, like, yeah. Like these old tube screamers I love, like, still going through the kind of a DeVille and going through Marshall. I mean, high watt.
Okay.
Also, I have a couple things where I use like a champ. I used to use like a champ head. Somebody made a champ head for me, like mm-hmm. cut it. And so it was just a tiny little head, and we play it through a big speaker. It sounded amazing.
So did you like mimic that through the fractal, or are you just trying to get there?
We would do that a little bit, and then try to forget that, and see if we could go a little further with it. And sometimes mm-hmm. we really would. And as more and more we would go, we would sort of discover other different sounds by combining two weird things, and then we would replace the other ones because we wanted it all to be cohesive. I don't want it, like, all of a sudden your guitar to sound like church bells. It has to still have a glossary like an album. And this has the opportunity to do whatever you want, but I don't want it to do whatever I want. I just want to be able to do that and have nine things go on. Now, I'll tell you one thing, the dance is different. I used to have to do this.
Yeah, I bet.
And now I go like that. Bink.
It's almost like you're cheating now.
Yeah, man, cheating. It's a whole sellout. That's right.
But
I don't even play those guitars. I don't know whose guitars those were.
Do you feel like this has more power in, like, in terms of, because one thing I love about your playing in the albums and live is that you're not afraid to make the guitar not sound like the guitar.
Yeah, this does that more.
Yeah, so
I would say in some ways this is probably more precise to what the records are like. Yeah. All of them. Even like we do a lot of like studio things, we just love the way things sound, and a lot of it was removing any air out of things. So going direct, especially Swoon, our second record, Panxwich even has these like things that are just so direct. You never could quite do it live. But it didn't really matter because live is different. But this one sort of, this is almost like a gift to our front of house engineers because they get these things pure coming from the PA without anything. And this is only for
just
stage
so
volume and me feel something. Other than that, they just have it and they can manipulate it any way they want. And it's just, it's a dream for them.
Do you feel that sometimes when people have talked about switching between analog or just a full rig and a fractal or a Kemper is either not maybe say latency, but you know, they missed that feel of that. So
yeah,
you
I mean,
feel like you're pretty much there?
I think if you get the amps behind you, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, the feel, I mean, that's literally what it is. I mean, honestly, things have changed so much. Like, you go in clubs and you're playing through all your stuff and it's amazing because you have these monitors that barely work. You're putting your foot on it.
Yeah.
But there's just sound all around you. And as our band has gone on, technology has gone on to where, you know, how sides of stage are so boring now.
Yeah.
Just because of in-ears. Like, no, nothing's happening. I remember seeing Soundgarden, it was sexy sound, you know, now.
Yeah.
It's so sad. I couldn't wait to see them. We played with them, and we were on the side of stage, and I was just like, okay. I took my friend, I'm like, will you trust me? So she's like, yes. And we ran out, because I was like, I'm not watching Soundgarden on the side of stage, because there's nothing.
Yeah, no.
Because there's no monitors, because they just hear it in their ears. So you hear drums, and some amp a little bit. So I ran out on the crowd, and just put my elbows up and went in. And the funniest part about it was like these kids would, push these kids and these kids would go, great show, man.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. But I think, it's just, I don't know, with this stuff, it's all the same. Because even when you get like, even all the pedal stuff that I had was still so complicated and so crazy. And it's like at the end of the day, whatever you want to do, whatever feels right, whatever sound you want to make, it's all in your playing and all in your choices, you know?
Do you think that you'll record with this type of equipment?
No, no. I don't think so. I don't think I'm hitting that space. Because like, I think this is really good for travel, really good for mimicking, sometimes even enhancing things that I've already set down. But I wouldn't really know, I couldn't see myself sitting down with it right now, creating anything.
Yeah.
I still have to like, you know, have accidental like, whoops, I left that on, whoops.
That do, yeah. So are you, I guess the one thing I know that for sure I want to know and people want to know is for your fuzz sounds, like what are you either basing off or,
because like
you know.
Like a 80s rat. And like a big muff. I always have like a big muff.
Like for, I don't know if this is on your current set or if it's even, you've even thought about how to translate that through the fractal would be like Panic Switch. That's a song that I think.
Yeah, that, like, yeah, but I mean, it has a pedal that a friend of mine built too, and it was all direct and it's kind of mosquito sounding.
Yeah.
So we have this sort of mosquito sound over, not too much fuzz because it was hard because there's so many notes and things like that.
Yeah.
That it was hard to remember. I can't remember the name of that pedal we used for that one. There's this, these pedals that went out of business. We wrote that song, recorded in 2008. What was the name? This guy had all these pedals. He was like collected them, and I haven't seen them since.
Damn.
What are they called? Basically, we just, especially then, just have like a garbage bag of pedals. People just keep bringing stuff, and we just keep trying things. And even with that, as we're writing the record, if something was better, we'll then go back on the other song and replace it with that to keep it all in a glossary of sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess the last question I have, because I don't want to be known as someone that's afraid to go there, even though I probably know the answer, is you record with a special rack mount from the 80s that you call your special weapon.
Oh,
would you care to
broken.
Go on record and let people know what it actually is?
The digiverb,
yeah.
The you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Dude.
So that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't have it anymore. It broke.
So there you go, folks.
It broke, and then we got another one, and then I was able to replicate it with stuff that worked. But yeah, forever I had that
yeah,
thing.
And
that was a sound man's nightmare. But I liked it.
Brian, I appreciate
it. Was just in it.
Wow.
Yeah, to hear the whole interview, going back to the...
to the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like Tarantino. We went all the way back, and now we're forward.
It's the circle of life, everyone.
Brian, thank you very much. We're going to talk to Nikki.
Uh-oh.
All right, we're on, well, I guess not the opposite side of the stage, but a little further stage left with Nikki. Nikki, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for taking some time to talk to us about your gear. And typical bass fashion, you don't have much gear, so we'll knock it out real quick. So talk to us about your number one here that's over your shoulder.
This is a Thunderbird,
yep.
A Gibson Thunderbird, and I used to play, in the very beginning of our band, I played a P bass, and I was never like happy with how the sound went, the bass got stolen from
really?
A show, and with the insurance money, we got a Thunderbird. I was talking with Brian, I'm like, I kind of want to try Thunderbirds, so ever since then, I just haven't gone back.
What do you like about the Thunderbird? Thunderbird versus any of the Fenders or the P or the J that you get out of it?
I like the sustain, and I feel like it just is more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I play with the Ampeg 810s, and I feel like it's the perfect combination. Before I was also playing at 115,
okay.
And it felt like everything I was like trying to play faster, but it was like, I could tell it was getting clogged. And then,
It's a rock bass. That's, I think,
yeah.
You know, I think the Who, right on the bass.
It's all rock and roll. But Joe and our old, Joe, our keyboard player, and our old sound guy, Fritz, our good friend, they worked together to create the Thunder Giraffe. So I'm the only one that has this. And
that's
it was
awesome.
Specially designed for me, so.
So what's with the CB heart?
Oh, CB, a friend of ours, a very, very good friend, he passed away.
Oh.
Now it's been almost a couple years. And before he passed away, he had cancer. We were playing on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, and he wasn't able to come, so I put this on.
So he was able to be there with you guys.
So he could be there, and Chris had put it on his drums, and he was just so excited. Because
cool
he used
sentiment.
To come to every show, he used to come to everything with us, and he was such a big part of our... of our band, and the song that came off our last album, Better Nature, Circadian Rhythm, is all about him.
That's right.
So, Let's see what else we have here. Oh, and Brian named my good basses, although I have named them Giraffe 1 and Giraffe 2. And he called them Miss Galore.
Which is the femme fatale, like the,
yes,
the counterpart to James Bond.
And there's another counterpart. I can't even remember. I'm like, I'll just call them what I want. One's D sharp and one's my E.
Or Giraffe 1 and 2.
Yeah, Giraffe 1 and 2. So, but it's still on there to make him happy.
And
what else?
Have you done anything special to the base? Had to change anything out or upgrade any parts? Or has it just been perfect?
No, I haven't. I've been happy with how Gibson set it up. So, no, the only thing I have to make the... I use white out.
Yeah.
To make the dots a little bit brighter, because when it's dark, you know,
it's
can't
tough.
See. And then I start getting nervous if I can't see.
And no, you don't want to be like that.
And I don't want to be nervous, because... Mm-hmm. I'm trying to play it cool. So.
Well, that's one thing I was going to say. I didn't say it with Brian, but when I've seen you guys play numerous times, that you guys always seem like you're having so much fun. You both have such a big smile, so it's...
It is. Well,
so
it's
it
fun.
It never comes off as being nervous.
It's fun because I can see the dots. I, you know, I've got my giraffe with me. But yeah, I'm a... And sometimes the guys say, you know, how about trying another bass or another type of Gibson? And I'm just happy.
Yeah.
I just want to play
broke,
this
why
one.
Fix it?
Yeah. So maybe someday, but so far, and it's weird now because the Thunderbird headstock is so top heavy. I'm just used to standing a certain way. So when I do play another bass, then all of a sudden
you're all off.
Now that's lopsided because I'm so used to what I'm.
It's what almost like your
here.
Stance and your style and your technique is formed because of
the
Thunderbird.
Yes. And I used to play live a white one a lot more, but because the white, it takes so much more paint and schlack, it's a lot heavier.
Yeah.
And so I tend to use these ones. And actually, another one I used to use had no finish on it at all. But it's hard when we play during like rainy weather, because then it'll soak up. So
yeah.
this one is actually, I play two that just look alike now. And actually, our friend MT gave me, this is a couch strap, and he had done some work with them. He does graffiti in LA on
right.
school phone, so I always
perfect.
Love wearing his strap. So
it's good to support your friends.
I know, that's what we like
and
to do.
And speaking of support, bass strings. You got the Ernie Ball slinkies.
I've used these, once I find something I like.
You're not changing it.
Then I'm like, why change it? So here we are, Ernie Ball slinkies.
50 to 105s.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the... Yes, this is it, but I don't remember offhand.
I just
50
was reading
to
105, it. I was reading
of course, 50 to 105. But yeah, regular slinkies. I always remember because it's the lime green one.
Yeah.
Oh, and I see lots of other bands have...
Man.
Not the only one. So, must be something good about this.
Are you changing your strings often, or is it...
I was just talking about with our guitar tech today about it. So, I probably like them change. Well, I was trying to ask him because I'm also trying to be environmentally conscious.
Yeah.
So we were talking about once every 2 weeks to switch.
Yeah.
Maybe I should. I don't know. What do you think? Because I like them to sound.
I've heard from different bass players. I've heard guys that say they don't break or they don't change them until they're broken or yanked.
I've broken one once. I remember this in Exeter, England.
Wow.
In a small, very small club over there. I don't know what happened that night, but it broke a string. but yeah, so I like it to sound kind of like, I think it sustains better and it sounds more raw when they're a little newer. So mm-hmm. I just don't like it when they start to sound dull. But again, I'm not too picky. I mean, that's why I don't even know. I've been doing this for 17 years and I don't even know how often I change strings, so. But it did just come up today.
Speaking of picks, Brian had some not so nice things to say about your picks. He said that he's not a fan. He said he's not a fan. He says it's like soap.
No, well now we, our guitar tech, he knifes through them. Because Brian likes to use the kind that have powder.
Yeah, the grip.
Because maybe he gets too nervous, his hands sweat.
He needs whiteout on his dot marks.
But I've been having these picks forever, and I don't think this company makes a powdery one, or else I would have done that. I have a little drawing I did a long time ago of a band that never quite got off the ground, but we had picks,
And you had artwork.
And we had artwork. Our friend Doug, we really wanted our friend Doug to be in it. It's me and two other girlfriends of mine. And we said, Doug, we'll name the band after you if you join. So it's called Stuck on Doug. And I still make these pics, but he passed away years ago. But it's nice to remember him. We named our EP Pykel after him. That was his nickname that he had given himself. So I just, like, I'm just, I guess I am, I'm a creature of habit. So once I find something I like, and even if they're slippery, now we have solved the problem by just knifing them every day. So, is there any, what else would you like to, dark secrets?
I think we got it covered with basses, strings, and picks. But we should talk about these creatures of habit, because I've seen you guys, and I always see the SVTs up on there.
Yeah.
So you've had those.
Again, yes. I used to use a Gehly and Kruger, and I loved that. Mm-hmm. But then I was introduced to SVTs, and then I love those more. And I'm surprised, actually, I just checked, because I like playing the tube amps, but I was like, did we have to go to solid state? Because I know on tour it's hard to.
Yeah.
Keep tube amps running. So we have, this one's my main vein, and then this is a backup just in case. And
do you record with this one? Is this one like you would record with, or you got different gear?
We probably bring that. When we record, it's just like, there's usually always a SVT Classic and the 810 cab, so usually I don't actually have to bring it, but that is what I record through most of the time. And look, there's Skullphone again.
Yeah. And is there any way that you EQ an amp? I'm sure it changes every day inside and outside venues, but like to get a certain sound, or like, I know that one thing I really enjoy about your tone is that not only does it cut, but it's also very low end, and you can still feel the bass, where a lot of times bass gets either lost, or with effects, it can lose its core sound.
Speaking of effects, I don't like to use too many effects, because over the years, I've learned the bass is just supposed to be the bass for the most part, unless you're going crazy and then you use that woolly mammoth.
Oh, we'll get to that.
We're still getting to that. But we have C written down so we don't forget.
All right.
These are some basic
kind of in the ballpark.
As you can see, it's around. But yeah, for each show, we switch it around so that we, but in general, we just write it down so then you don't have to remember.
That's a good idea.
I've got enough to remember during this show.
Yeah,
so,
let alone anything else.
But sometimes I will mess with it slightly during the show, but basically we set it up for a sound check, and then I don't have to worry about it.
Well, you've already talked about it, but let's touch on the few pedals you do have.
Yeah, I used to have more pedals, and then slowly I just started taking them away because I wasn't using them.
Well, yeah, I know the one you had at one point was the Maleco, the bass mask, the big...
the Ass Master?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you can say Ass Master.
Yeah, and that one comes with the Dracula teeth.
Yeah.
So it's extra exciting. You get a gift with your gift. But now I'm using this Woolly Mammoth when things need to go really crazy, say at the end of Lazy Eye. And then I just wanted to crumble.
Is that another thing?
Be really loud.
Maybe you're using for like Mean Spirits if you guys play that?
That would be excellent. Although we haven't played Mean Spirits in a while, but I was using the Bass Overdrive, but I think the Woolly Mammoth would be something for that too.
Okay, yeah, because that's a pretty
gnarly. The Bass Overdrive seems to have a little more control, so and Mean Spirits is fast, mm-hmm. so I need it to like not
keep
go
up,
too crazy.
Yeah.
So I guess I would tend to use the Bass Overdrive for that. And then the compressor, I don't like compression, but you know, sound guys do, so I tend to...
Is that on then, pretty much all the time?
Yes, I just leave it on. And then we have a...
Pick down.
Never waste your picks.
No.
We have a clean channel and a dirty channel that goes.
Okay.
So maybe I've set it too crazy. You know, he can like do some
fine
tuning. And then I don't know what this pedal is. I think it's the power pedal.
Yeah, power play. Yep, for all the pedals there.
And then plugs. And then a tuner. Actually, this is a brand new tuner because we just played a show where it was pouring during sound check and it got wrecked.
That's what Eric said, yeah.
Yes.
He said he has the other tuner in a bag, Ziploc bag.
Yeah, you know, actually, to get it to come back to life. The other one's like 10 years old, probably at least. And I see they've changed it up.
Yeah, we got
a
TU3 now.
So now, but now it the dot. So when I have my want things, we do a lot of things with a half step down. So mm-hmm. when I need to check it, it's hard to see the tiny little D sharp dot. Trouble.
Right.
It's rough. It's rough being
it's rough
a
out
bass
here.
Player. Yeah. Let's see what else is. Then we have.
I think that might be it, or what do we
well,
got?
Well, we have the Roland drum pad.
What do you cue off this?
What do I cue?
You're like, what are you like? Are there like hitting like patches, or what
I
do you?
I play.
Or you play?
Sometimes, like for Friendly Fire, one of our songs, I'm playing. It was a keyboard part, but Joe's doing so much stuff that I play the keyboard part. We programmed what the keyboard sound like, and then I just punch the pads. And then also for Friendly Fires, I use the Omnicord, which I love. And we also use this instead of, because a couple of our songs have vibraphones.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you guys are gonna bring the vibraphone out.
So that's our vibraphone.
Oh, okay.
It's amazingly what technology can do. And then I have to borrow Chris's sticks, which I love. He made a little Silver Sun pickups that looks like Star Wars.
Oh yeah, it does.
But then I see I got another one that is not his, so he tries to give me some rejects too. And then it says someone put Mickey sticks over there. Get it? Okay.
Well, he actually, yeah, because he actually played Thunderbirds
and
too.
And he did play Thunderbird. Yeah,
it's all
but
full
he
circle.
Did not play a Thunder Giraffe.
No.
Just
I saw
bird.
The first one in my life right here.
But see, it's tricky. It looks.
It looks.
You would never know. What else? Oh, and then I think in 2009 when we made, I think
Swoon?
This was for Swoon.
Yeah.
We were playing with the name machine, and I just put my name on it. So.
That one's completely yours between the giraffe, the name sticker.
Yeah, you know.
No
I
one
just,
can ever claim it's not.
No changes. No, no. changes.
Well, Nikki. Okay. I appreciate your time.
Thanks. I talked a lot more than I thought I would.
No, God. I
learned
way too
more.
Much.
I learned more about my stuff just talking to you.
I'm thankful that you talked as much as
All
you
right.
did.
And look, we're trying no plastic.
See?
We drink
reusable.
Out of chalices now.
It's reusable. Nikki, thinking about the earth. Chris Keys.
All right. Bye.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.